Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
In Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. The snow's starting to move into the area, so make sure you're just aware of that. Still not at my house yet, but we're getting there. We welcome in Jared Stillman to the program. Stilly, good morning. Are you adequately prepared for the snowmageddon coming our way?
Yeah, I think I'm adequately prepared. I just want to wish you guys a happy snowmageddon 2025. You know, we have usually about 1 week of snow a year, and I guess this is, and it always seems to happen like right around either the wild card round or the divisional round. Last year our snowmageddon happened during that wonderful Robbie Packers playoff win against the Cowboys. And wasn't really clear until the following Saturday of the divisional round when the Texans played the Ravens. So I guess this is what's happening this week, although it should be gone by about Monday, Tuesday. So, yes, I feel like I am adequately prepared for snowmageddon, but I hope everybody out there stays safe.
Yes, as do we all. So, Jared, I want to start on this. So I think you have done a great job all week. Our station has done a great job all week of kind of highlighting where the Titans are right now. So Brinker, I think, is pretty clearly trying to get the message out there that some patience may be required here, and that, you know, what they're trying to build moving forward and the model that they want to go to may require some patience. My question to you is, after being here for 2 years and being, to me, a huge part of what we've seen with this roster the last 2 years, do you think that he is in a position and has carved out a position where he's actually going to get that patience? Like, is Amy Adams Strunk going to do that? Or is this going to be what we've seen the last 3 years, where he better put together a product that does some winning next year, or he's going to be right out of a job?
Oof, that's a really good question. So I have a kind of a controversial opinion about this. And look, I don't know Chad Brinker really at all, so this is just from what I've seen. You know, I think Chad Brinker is a really good con artist. And what con artists are really good at is convincing whomever they're talking to, basically telling them whatever it is that they want to hear. So finding a way to get through to whomever the target of the con is in order to get that person to say, wow, you know what? This really is a miracle toothpaste that if I use, my teeth will be so bright, when really it's just the same as your typical Crest toothpaste. And I say this because I'm convinced Brinker has conned his way to the top. And so the whole draft, develop, retain, I think that's the new thing, because that's what Amy wants to hear. So he's telling her, hey, this is our new model. And she's like, oh, yes. And at the same time, it seems to me like he's probably setting up Brian Callahan to take the fall for what will be a bad 2025 season. So he yes. would survive that if he can get her fixated on Callahan. And so big picture, yeah, it seems like in the musical blame game, if this team stinks again this year, then she'll turn her attention to Chad Brinker. Because I think, as Joe adequately put it yesterday, Brian Callahan is really a pawn right now in this whole story. And it's Burke Nihil and Chad Brinker that are running the show. And so if the team stinks, they should be the ones to blame. And I don't give Chad Brinker a pass the way Chad Brinker's asking for a pass. Chad Brinker's acting like he got here on Tuesday. I mean, that he didn't say all those things about, yeah, Rand and I, we're just so aligned. We're like long-lost brothers. We got this great plan. We're all working together. Or like Callahan said on Monday, that now Chad was involved in every decision. So, I mean, I hold Brinker accountable for how bad the team is. Not as much as Rand, but he's certainly up there. But he's trying to tell everybody that he has nothing to do with it, or trying to insinuate that he had nothing to do with it. Now, I don't view it that way, but I do think maybe Amy will view it that way. So I got to tell you, I think, as TD said yesterday on the show, Brinker's no dummy. He knows how to play the game, and he knows who to play. And I think he's done a good job at that. So it would not surprise me if he finds a way to weasel out of being held accountable for a bad football team that he puts together.
So, Stilly, you and I have talked of – oh, I'm sorry, Still Billy. You and I have talked about sources many times, some on the air, some off the air. So two questions for you. One, you said yesterday that you heard that Brinker – well, I want to make sure I say it right — pushed for Callahan's firing. So I do have to ask you how confident you are in that sourcing. And then I also want to ask you, Jared, do you think that Brinker stabbed Rand Carthon in the back?
Okay, so let me start with the first thing. What I heard was Chad Brinker did not want to keep Brian Callahan. And I heard it from the same person who told me over the weekend that Rand Carthon was getting fired. And the same person — I went on the air on Monday. Joe, I called you over the weekend. I went on the air on Monday, and I said, I hear Rand Carthon's getting fired. And it was the same person told me that Brinker did not want to keep Brian Callahan. So, how about you guys? Feel like that's good enough, right?
Works for me. Rex Road seems a little bit more in depth.
Well, besides, we're a one-source show.
Yeah,
and
again, Jared,
speaking
Jared,
of capital J journalism, but
the one source show, one source is fine. It just can't suck as a source. Like, one, it's not about the number; it's about the quality. And I just,
if
I
it
get
got
a
it right,
uneasy.
Yeah, if it got it right,
I know, but I get a little uneasy, Jared, when you say things like, "I mean, this person has been right on some things before." I'm like, "Whoa, pump the brakes here," because some, you know, the sun shining on a dog's ass and all these things, right? Like like I get a little uneasy. I'm just saying.
So I called you on Saturday and told you that Rand Carthon was getting fired.
That you heard that, yes, and it turned out to be so.
Okay,
I give you credit for that, but I just I'm just, you know. You do. I mean, we all know the difference, though, between, like, this person's been right sometimes, and there's no question this person has direct knowledge of whatever we're talking about, right?
I think you've got Kaharsky, you know, kind of warping your brain a little bit. Because Kaharsky, on his podcast, carved out time to say that if you hear people say that he's carrying water for Chad Brinker, you shouldn't listen to them. And then he refuted the idea that Callahan Brinker didn't want to keep Callahan. And then he talked about how he had all that Rand information, but he didn't feel comfortable publishing it until after Rand got fired, which I thought was really weaselly as far as a journalist is concerned. Like, oh, now you tell us, now that he's fired, now you write the story kind of stuff. So, again, you know, it's like Robbie brought up my tweet the other day about how Brinker didn't want to keep Callahan. And Paul said, he's been wrong about a lot of stuff, too. Like, I don't want to hear that from Mr. Everybody's Coming Back. So maybe Karski's warping your brain a little bit, Joe.
No, yeah, I mean, we don't have time to get into that whole thing. I do.
Can I ask you, though, about the rant story?
I think you're misunderstanding. I think you're misunderstanding his point a little bit, though, about, like, if sources don't want you to, that happens a lot, but.
Okay, yeah. But can we?
Okay, you can ask me a question. You still have an answer to my second question, but sure.
Yeah, I think Brinker stabbed Rand in the back. So, my big question to you is, oh, by the way, Kaharski's report yesterday too was that the entire building outside of Anthony Robinson, who got fired, is happy that Rand got fired. As a journalist, Joe, when Paul says, "I've had this Rand Carthon stuff for a while," and I didn't feel comfortable publishing it while he was the GM until he got fired. Don't you find that a little phony?
Again, to me, I think he also said he had sources who weren't comfortable, right? That's the whole key. And that is understandable, and that happens. I mean, that happens. People bitch about somebody off the record. And then, you know, now I would argue, is it necessary ever then, right? And again, I mean, I got to the point where I seriously probably nearly had a heart attack the other day screaming at Kaharski about how stupid I think the napping on the plane thing is. I mean, I've taken my shots at him this week too, Jared, but I think you're framing it like he's just like, well, I don't want to make Rand mad. If the people who told him this stuff didn't want it out there, then you can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure
that
when he's got four sources, you're telling me all four sources told Kaharski, don't write that, Paul, but he slept on the plane.
I don't know.
And then the day he got fired, he slept on the plane, Paul.
I don't know. Have him on today. You guys hash it out.
Yeah, it's more fun this way to take his little cuts from his podcast and then laugh about it.
All right, Jared, I'm of the opinion that the Tennessee Vols play-by-play job is a better one than the Titans. Your thoughts?
I know, we argued about it yesterday. Is the Tennessee Titans head coaching job a better job or worse job than the Tennessee Vols head coaching job?
I think that's a lot closer than you think it is.
I mean, I'll say this. I think you probably get paid more if you're coach of the Vols. But, yeah. I mean, look, college coaches want to coach in the pros. Like, they do. I mean, I know there are some that are like, I'm a college ball coach.
Nick Saban was like, oh, actually, you know what? Screw this. Yeah, I'll go get the best players every day and kick your ass. No, they
Nick
don't
Saban said
the
screw this because he didn't have a quarterback. If Nick Saban.
Exactly. Right.
If the Cincinnati Bengals called Nick Saban and said, we're going to fire Zach Taylor to hire you, I bet he'd take the job.
Maybe. Are you? What? No. Stop.
Because of the quarterback. Again.
I'm just saying that not all pro jobs and not all college jobs are created equal. I don't think it's a blanket like, there's 32 of these. I don't think, like, the Dallas Cowboys play-by-play job and the Jacksonville Jaguars play-by-play job are not the same thing.
What would you rather be in? The Pro Football Hall of Fame or the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
What would you rather call on Fox? College football or pro football?
What's the game?
You can either be the number two Fox college guy like Jason Benetti, or you can be Kenny Albert doing like the fourth Fox game every week.
Jared, how many Titans fans are there in the world? How many Vols fans are there in the world?
But see, I don't think that – who cares? Like, why does it matter?
Oh, really?
About there
you don't
being
think
more
the numbers
Vols
matter?
Fans?
Oh, all of a sudden the numbers don't matter.
It's the NFL.
Uh huh.
It's the NFL.
The
there
NFL.
Are 32 NFL jobs.
I hear
like,
you.
Again, so
there
these Furkacha general manager positions
that are elite.
So these fake general manager positions that exist in college football now, would you rather be the general manager of UT football or the general manager of the Tennessee Titans? You'd rather be the general manager of the Titans.
For sure, but the GM in college football is kind of a – first off, it doesn't happen everywhere.
But they have more fans, Joe.
Well, yeah, but there's – there's differences that are involved there. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Would you rather be the play-by-play guy for Georgia football or for the Atlanta Falcons? Like, I think each job is different.
So, I guess the guy who does the Falcons also does Georgia Tech, but
he
I'm
does
not
Georgia
sure
Tech,
that that's,
yes.
you know, not necessarily equal. I do think, you know, and I'm not poo-pooing anything about Mike Keith taking the job. He takes a job, do whatever. I think the era, because TV's so big now, I feel like the era of the play-by-play guy, it's really not the same anymore. You know, whereas back in the day when John Ward was doing UT games and Larry Munson was doing Georgia games and Kaywood Ledford was doing Kentucky games, and it was like these guys represented, they were the school. Kaywood Ledford was Kentucky basketball. And I think now, because TV's so prevalent, everybody watches the games on TV, it's not the same connection with the fan base. Now, Mike Keith's going to be doing more than just calling the games, and he Right. will have a connection with that fan base. But it's not necessarily the same anymore. I just consider the NFL to be the creme de la creme and college to be a step beneath it. And so I am stunned that somebody would leave a secure NFL post to go to college. And I think that, again, the extenuating circumstances with Mike Keith being the fact that he's always dreamed of being the voice of the Vols probably plays more of a role into this than UT being a better job than calling Titan games.
Well, I would agree with that, too. I'm of the opinion it's a better job. Jared?
Yeah, you're still wrong, Jared, but yes, good point.
Be careful
so
in the snow
today. So you
think
it's a better job, Joe?
Yes.
And you think that Kaharsky was journalistically honest by holding back his Rand Carthon piece?
I mean, I just explained to you how I look at it. Do I need to speak slower? You want to say it again and speak slower this time?
And
you can go back and listen to it, okay?
I would just like to state for the record that Charles Robinson said on your program yesterday that Chad Brinker was running the Titans. What happened, Joe, to Chad Brinker's like Steve Underwood of the Titans? What happened to that?
Okay, what? I don't know. I don't know, Jared.
You can say I was wrong, audio? Jared. I was wrong, Jared.
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sure you can find the audio. Please play it later and bash me.
Robbie Stanley.
No. Tell me, Robbie.
Do you remember when Chad Brinker
talking about on this one?
When Chad Brinker introduced Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan at the pre-draft press conference, I said, "Who is running this team?" Why, if Brinker works for Rand, which some people were trying to tell us, if Brinker works for Rand, why is Brinker introducing Rand? And okay, Joe said, of course, Stilly went crazy on this. Brinker is like Steve Underwood. And I was like, no, he's not. He says he watches tape every day. That's not what Steve Underwood did. And Joe was like, no, that was just an administrative position. That was a no. Then Charles comes on the show and says, oh, yeah, Chad Brinker's running the Titans. And Joe says nothing. Crickets.
I mean, I just was screaming at Kaharsky about that.
Jared, I apologize for being wrong about Brinker's position, and you were right.
We'll do a special on this show.
Apology accepted,
Joe. If you want apologies, if you think it's important for everything you said,
it's too late to apologize, Joe.
To be wrong. No, we're going to do a special, like a celebrity holiday special, in which Jared Stillman apologizes for all his horrific takes. Do you know how long that show would have to be, Jared? Do you know? We'd have to take the entire day. We'd have to take up every single time slot we have for you to apologize. So don't start this
about,
crap with
me. Don't make this about me, Joe. Oh, I'm just asking for this one specific apology. And
I don't
you
even know what
do
you're
this.
Talking about, but I'll believe you. I'll
you
believe
can't
you,
look in the mirror okay. and say, you know what, Jared was right and I was wrong for the umpteenth time.
Okay.
Jared, have fun in the snow. We'll talk to you later.
Gentlemen, be safe, everybody out there. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.
All righty. Jared Stillman, our guest, joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll react to what Jared had to say, continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Belmont women's basketball as they take on Valparaiso at the Fisher Center on Sunday. The call is 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The snow has started to move into our area, so if you are out and about, be as cautious as you can be and prepare yourselves for a long day here. Looks like we're going to be seeing a lot of snow today. Some projections have thrown out there that could see 3 to 5 inches in some spots. From other spots, it could be up to about 7. So just make sure you're aware of that as the day goes on today. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad has some more information on the Rand Carthon firing, which we're going to get to in here in just a few minutes. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock. Joe, I'm interested for your take on the question that I asked Jarrett. You know, Brinker's out there preaching patience, and now this could take some patience here. Do you think he's actually carved out a position where he's going to get some of that? Or is this just going to be as simple as you better do some winning next year or this whole thing's getting turned over again?
It's a great question, and you're asking me to read Amy Adams Strunk's mind, and
it's hard to do.
I can't even remember random things that Stilly brings up from whenever I apparently said them. So I certainly
usually
can't
I have
read
a pretty good
mind.
Idea of where he's going. I did not follow there.
I vaguely remember saying like, okay, so I think it was like, again, the initial reaction to like their press release about their whole structure. I'm like, okay, so I guess he's like Underwood. You know, again, I feel like I was throwing stuff at the wall, but yes, I need to apologize for that. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, I can't read Amy's mind on that. I feel like, you know, if they're really bad next year, you know how it is. It's like if you can project a season ahead and think about, so what if they do this or that? But when you go through it on a weekly basis,
right?
I mean, look, it's a big deal to put on these football games. And everybody talks about it all off season and all 32 teams, there will be reasons for optimism. Whoever the Titans quarterback is, maybe Aaron Rodgers still has a fastball in there, or maybe Shedeur Sanders is going to be, you know, Jaden Daniels to the Titans this year, whatever it may be. You're going to find the optimism. Now, the Titans, of course, need to be better about not contributing to that, but then you go through it, and if it's another horrific, miserable season, first of all, then I just – fair or not, I mean, I think Brian Callahan would be in big trouble. And then it comes down to, you know, again, Jared is saying he's hearing that Brinker wanted Callahan out. Now, I didn't hear Kaharski, but Jared is saying that Kaharski is saying the opposite of that. You know, but it does seem like Brinker has put himself in a pretty insulated spot given the circumstances. It seems that way. He's certainly trying to, and his public messaging this week has been one of, it is like a pivot. And I don't think Amy is as like Jared's like, well, Amy, like, oh, draft and develop. I mean, Amy, she understands, right, that like everybody says that forever, like every team has said that forever and ever.
I don't know either.
To me, that's more like, how dumb are these fans? Let's find out, right? And from what I'm seeing, Titans fans are rejecting that BS out of hand. And that doesn't mean that, you know, that he isn't like the next step. If I had to guess the next step of another year of losing football, it's probably the coach.
I would probably agree with that, although my caveat to all this is, like, you can get yourself as insulated as you want to be. How insulated, like, what does insulated really mean with Amy Adams Strunk, with how quickly these things have changed on a dime?
Yeah.
Like, what does insulated really mean with her? That's what I just don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Rexroad has more information on what went wrong for Rand Carthon. We'll get into more of that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joe, real quickly, some breaking news that I think is going to floor you in the world of football. Abdul Carter has declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
There's a big shocker.
Yeah, if anybody watched that game last night, he looked every bit a top five pick, playing with a bum shoulder. Incredible performance by him. He's, you know, for the Titans, he's of the non-QBs, I mean, it's Hunter and Carter, right? I mean, yes. If they don't get a QB, man, it would really help them to get one of those two guys.
Yes, there is no doubt about that. So that was considered breaking news by ESPN, which is maybe the most anticlimactic breaking news of the day. So we'll see what happens on that front and what that means for where exactly he ends up going and whether or not the Titans are a part of that. Joe, speaking of the Titans, you have more information on what went wrong for Rand Carthon.
Yeah, I think this was worth having a little segment on. I did talk to a couple of people yesterday, and I think I got, you know, some clarity on a few things without pretending here that I know exactly how everything went down. I don't. I just don't like the Rand napping on the plane stuff. It just doesn't sit well with me. It just really doesn't. Again, I don't blame PK for writing that. Someone told him that. I think it's a cheap shot. But I will say that, you know, I think that I come away from yesterday thinking that there are definitely some people who worked under Rand who were not happy with him and not impressed with him. And again, this is huge breaking news. No, but I'm just saying this is something that I heard, and I think he didn't do a good job of communicating at times, which goes along with, again, just getting the job, getting it, the various aspects of being a general manager in the NFL. I know for a fact that he didn't get the media part of it. He didn't get it, and he did a really poor job of doing basic things that you got to do in that job. So I guess this kind of goes hand in hand with that. But also, I think he did a poor job of communicating the other way. And as we've talked about a year ago with Vrabel, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know exactly how that works. I mean, you know, like, do people have the freedom to just be like, text, hey, Miss Amy, you know, I got a question for you. You know, I don't know. Or do you have to wait for the official meeting that Burke Nihil sets up for you? I don't know. But I don't think the communication was great that way, especially relative to Chad. And so, you know, one big thing here is you could look at this whole thing, Robbie, like Chad gradually entrenching himself and setting himself up for this whole situation, and including, you know, Rand getting ousted. But I come away questioning whether there was active backstabbing in the process. Now, Jared said he does think so, but does he think so, or was he told that?
Right.
And here's the thing. I think there's a feeling in the building that that's not the case here. If that's not the case here, well, again, let's review. Initially, when John Robinson got fired, I think there were pretty much that question to some extent, in some way, was presented to Vrabel at the presser. And after a few days, I was like, yeah, I don't think that's what this is. Now, I think that Vrabel and Robinson had some disagreements, so she chose Vrabel, but I don't think it's because Vrabel backstabbed John Robinson. And I don't think Rand Carthon backstabbed Mike Vrabel at all. I really don't. I mean, this would be the pattern of, you know, Chad Brinker kind of sitting there and like, oh no, they're firing Rand. Now, again, what he did still served to create the situation, right? Yes. Can you blame someone for being a climber and for being a smooth talker and for elevating themselves? No. My biggest issue, again, with him is this whole thing. You know, it's just like the day of this firing, you have all the BS spewing out and going out to whoever will listen, and please, media, carry my water for me. I mean, that still bothers me, just like the Rand on the plane stuff. But I just, at this point, I feel like this is more that she chose him than he, you know, said, we got to get rid of Rand.
Yeah, okay. That's, first off, that's interesting. Secondly, it makes me question what's going on around here even more. Because you factor all that in, Joe, with the Carthon part of this. And again, I have no problem with the Titans firing Rand Carthon. But Charles Robinson said it on our show yesterday, and my ears perked up when I heard this. It's not the first time we've heard this. You know, he talked about kind of weighing the pros and cons and the decisions that he was trying to make going through training camp. And he was talking with another general manager around the league. And he was like, and they basically asked her, I was like, what are you wanting to get out of a trip to Tennessee? And he's like, yeah, I want to talk to Rant. And apparently, according to Charles, this general manager said, why do you want to talk to Rant? Talk to Chad.
Right. Right.
Chad is the one making football decisions. So apparently around the league, you know, Diana Rossini put that out earlier this year too, right?
The decision maker.
The decision maker.
Yeah, the decision maker, Brinker, yes.
So apparently around the league, the perception was that Chad Brinker was the one running the Tennessee Titans. And if that's the perception around the league, that has to tell me that there's some reality to that and that Amy knows that. So, again.
So then why is Rant out here?
Yeah.
I know.
Now, look, I can, you know, as far as the why is Rant out, well, if you hired Rant to be the general manager and he got passed by this guy or you didn't trust him anymore to have, you know, to be able to do that, then I understand why he's out. But it also leads to, I just go back to the statement where she talked about being uncomfortable with the direction that they were headed. It's like, well, if this guy was the decision maker with the way that you were headed,
he's dictating that.
Still here. What are we talking about?
I know. No, exactly. I mean, again, that any, you know, this stuff here, it all winds back to her and how you perceive this and how is this your decision? Like, I guess someone has to pay. You feel like there's got to be a pound of flesh. You know, maybe it's that simple.
I guess.
But again, if you truly don't like the direction things are going in and all these things keep coming back to, well, Brinker certainly was at least an equal partner, then how the heck is he where he is right now? It really is incredible.
Yeah, like I don't get it. And again, like if that's the perception around the league that Chad Brinker was in charge here, well, what's really going to be different moving forward? Like, you know, I understand
draft and develop, Robbie. Draft and develop.
Yeah, like I understand that he and Rand, like I don't think that Rand just showed up and didn't do anything, but how much different is it really going to be if he's really been the one that's been calling the shots at least for the last year, right? Now, again, I do think generally speaking, it's good to give your people some time to work and to operate and to see if they can demonstrate that they've got a clue. And has Chad Brinker had enough time to do that in this new role that he's been in? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But we were having that same discussion about Rand Carthon, right? Like that was the discussion about this group as a whole. It's, have they really been given enough time here to demonstrate that they know what they're doing? Like this would be one thing, Joe, if Rand Carthon was clearly the decision maker, he clearly had final control of everything. He was the one in charge. You decide to move on from him. And Brinker, while being his right-hand man, now gets an opportunity to be the decision maker. Like that would be one thing where you're looking at it and saying, okay, well, maybe he does deserve a little bit of rope here. But it doesn't really sound like that's the case. Like everybody around the league thought he was in charge.
Yeah, I just don't buy that at all. No, I don't. And again, you know, credit to Zach and PK, his previous reporting, and you for bringing it to the show yesterday. I mean, you know, you read the details and the, of course, in the aftermath of the Snead trade, everybody wants to say, me, yay, let's tell you how it all went down. Well, you know, the problem with that is, like, there's no way you can look at that, read that, what people said, and all the circumstances of that trade, and think it wasn't spearheaded by Chad Brinker. If that's the worst move, which right now, and we'll see with Snead coming back next year, and that, you know, that's TBD. He's got to be back and great next year. I have serious doubts he will be either, but especially the great part at this point.
Yeah.
If that's the worst move, and we know what we know about that, then how does Brinker not primarily blame for that? Or, again, at least equally blame for that? It's, you know, again, we do, I mean, it's Friday, and we have talked around this in circles a lot, and it keeps coming back to, let it keep going or fire everybody.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed.
And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Rolling down the street in a Hyundai Tucson. Wondering why you married her too. Laid back with your mind on your hubby and your hubby on your nerves. Rolling down the street in a Nissan Sentra. How come you always have to pick up the food? So whack.
Been a while since we heard that one. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, the floor is yours after that beautiful introduction.
Sadly, I do remember that. I don't remember saying that Chad Brinker would look awesome with Steve Underwood's mustache, but I do remember that. My goodness. Thanks, Nick. I hope you have a nice drive home, Nick.
You're welcome. And thank you.
So I feel like I just want to touch on this today and comment quickly, and we can move on. But we didn't talk about Frank Wycheck yesterday, and for people who missed it, you know, his family put out the results, or maybe we may have mentioned it. I apologize if we did, but didn't talk about it much. I mean, his family put out the results of the study on his brain. And he had stage 3 CTE. Stage 4 is the most severe. Stage 3 CTE, it can lead to dementia, memory loss, depression. As anybody who's followed the Frank Wycheck story goes, and Kaharsky, by the way, you know, done a really good job over the years of kind of chronicling this. And of course, he was good friends with Frank. Yeah, it's a terribly sad story. And I just... Yeah, there's statements from his daughters in this, and I think the one big thing that stands out to me is, you know, this is from Madison Wycheck Knowles' daughter. She says, quote, you know, my hope is that increased awareness, research, advocacy for player safety, we can help fellow families of minor and professional athletes continue to thrive, not only during their careers, but after playing the sport they love, so they can continue to share their legacies with generations to come. You know, that look, it's a reality of football, and I very much hope this is why, you know, I get it. Like, some of the rules in football now are, you know, God, this is soft compared to back in the day. But I mean, you look at a situation like this, and it's like, I don't think that player safety can be made too important. I just really don't, you know? And if you want football to continue, then it has to be taken very seriously. And sometimes I still don't think it's taken seriously enough. It is way better. There's no doubt. I mean, you go back and watch a football game from, you know, again, like my first 40 years on this planet, 35, 40 years on this planet, and just head-to-head blasts were just about celebrated, you know? And I think I've told the story probably on here. Like, my first day of Rocket football in Marshall, Michigan, in fourth grade, like, the first drill the coach did seriously was throw a ball between two players and try to get them to bang heads with no helmets on. I'm not kidding. But that's how, I mean, that's just how,
set the tone.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how it used to be. So I am very hopeful that, like, that era, and it's, you know, when Frank played, it's, you have that and you still hadn't gotten into safety at all. And you also, again, bigger, stronger, faster. The collisions, just so the combination of that to me makes his era, I hope, the worst of it, you know. And I hope that that we can get to the point with, and that's why I'm so grateful for him and his family for doing this, because we have to do more and more research, and I think potentially get to the point where we can find out, where we can detect susceptibility. And some people probably just not play the game. And some people do seem to, they go through all this and they've gone through that era and they're fine. They seem to be fine. Right. I'd love for more and more people to, you know, be willing to do this, because it's critical. And again, it's the safety of these people. It's the existence of football long-term, which, you know, I think, I remember 10 years ago or something like that, right in that range, a lot of people questioning whether, you know, is this going to be the end of football? And it's too popular for that, but also safety has to be central. And I'm, you know, last night watching these college football teams, you know, some of these teams are looking at 17 games in a season now as we talk about player safety. So, You know, I mean, it's always the push against the dollar against the safety. And I said that would make this short, and I'd continue to ramble on, Robbie. So please jump in.
Well, first off, I just want to read a couple of graphs from Kuharski's story on this, because as we know, and as we've discussed with him, you know, Kuharski and Wycheck were friends, and he's got kind of a unique perspective on this. But I do think this is worth kind of reading here, because this is the news that we found out yesterday is something that Frank Wycheck expected for a while, right? This is the lead of Kuharski's story. It says Frank Wycheck expected the diagnosis his family recently got. In February of 2017, he said he was certain that he had CTE. Thursday morning, his family announced that Boston University's CTE center confirmed Wycheck's brain tested positive for CTE stage 3. Stage 4 is the worst. For those of us who counted Wycheck as a friend, the news is a relief. Finding out that he had what he thought he had frames and explains a lot of his post-football life. So this is not something that Frank Wycheck himself didn't expect to one day find out about his life, right? Like this is, he was certain dating back at this point almost a decade ago that he had CTE.
Yeah. No doubt. And I remember, you know, like when I got to town around a decade ago, used to listen to their show, and then there'd be times when he'd be, you know, have to take breaks and be absent and things like that. And it was kind of, you know, something that was sort of talked about then, and you hoped the worst wasn't the case. But again, people should be really grateful to him for being willing to, you know, to think of others on this, and for his family to be willing to share this. Cause the more information, the more people willing to do this, the better. And again, the NFL has to do right by these people too. I mean, it's printing money. It is printing money. These billionaires who own these teams, they are printing money. They are getting $1.26 billion from cities, you know, like Amy Adams Strunk did to build a new stadium. And it's just, these are incredibly appreciating assets, these NFL franchises. There is plenty of money to help these people who have gone through this and really given their lives to this game. And, you know, with, in most cases, very little financial reward. You know, in Frank's case, he had a very successful career. I don't know what his career earnings were. Successful career, but in most cases, not huge financial rewards. And this league needs to do a better job of doing right by these people.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get TD's thoughts on the week that has been for the Titans, plus some interesting thoughts out there on where the Titans could go from here. We'll get into all that with TD coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.